Rick.
With all the things that are happening in our world today, I don't know about you, but I certainly need the scriptures like this. I need some encouragement. I need to understand that the Lord God loves me and He does hold my right hand. These are the promises of the Word of God. The problem we find in a lot of churches today, in fact, there's a new poll out that's saying how few Christians actually read their Bible anymore. You know what? That's really discouraging. That's really depressing because of the fact that, you know, a preacher comes up on Sunday morning and preaches, and some people only come for Sunday morning, and that's the only Bible they get all week. That is really tough. There are some that will come on Sunday night, and some will come also on Wednesday night. But I'll tell you something, those three services that we have singing and we have this and that going on, advertising, and you really don't get too much. That's why it's so important for you as a Christian to open your Word of God and see what the Word of God has for you in your life. We're in desperate times, whether you know it or not. These are the last days. God talks about these last days, and we need something. You know, if you try to drive your vehicle farther than that gas tank has gas in it, you're going to run out of gas. If you do not check that oil, and that oil does not get to those rings and the pistons and all that other stuff, you're going to have some real difficulty. And I remember that old advertising, pay me now or pay me later. How many remember that? Talked about the oil, the Fram oil filter. You know, it's very famous. It says, either pay it now or pay it later. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that ought to be said in a Christian church. Either pay now or pay later. Some of us, we get away from the Word of God. We get so busy in all of the things that we're doing in our life. I know what busy is. You know what busy is. You are now in your life. There are certain things that you don't do anymore because you just don't have time to do them anymore. You have certain things you like to do, but there's certain things that you can't do those things you like because you're just doing the things you have to do. Unfortunately, a lot of times we don't have to do this, what we think. But ladies and gentlemen, we have to read this Word of God. We have to get in the Word of God. As devilish, as the imps of hell that are raising all kinds of, I wanted to say Cain, I guess you can say that, all kinds of Cain that are going on in this world, we need the Word of God. You need to be encouraged. There are people out there that want to discourage you. There are people out there that want to take everything away from you and want to get you to the point in your life that you just said, hey, and I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get into the Word of God, you're going to become anemic. You're going to become powerless. And the things of the devil that are hitting you and slapping you side of the head, you don't know which way to turn. I'm telling you, I'm trying to tell you folks today that you're here, you're listening to me right now. I'm telling you from this pulpit, from this, your pastor, that God has given to you as an angel of God, the Bible says that the preacher is that heralder, the man of God is supposed to be the crier, the preacher. I'm telling you, if you don't get into this Word of God, you're going to be sunk. You're going to be really in trouble. Hey, listen, just give me 10 minutes of your life in the morning. Get it some way. Most of us, we got it on our cell phones. Mine, I just push a button, it'll read to me, amen. And I have, hands free in my car, and I just push it on, and the Bible reads to me, amen. You say, but Pastor, you're not really studying it. I'm getting some of it. Kind of reminds me of Grandma's strainer. You know what? She had a strainer that she'd put the vegetables in there and wash it out. You know what? Didn't catch any water, but it sure cleaned those vegetables, amen. Got the bugs off and everything else, amen. You know, that Word of God, if we can just use the Word of God as a put strain, go through our brain a little bit, it'll help us and get us by. I want to read you some things about, I want to talk to you today about the fear knocks of the Bible. There's a lot of fear today, and it really concerns me. Last week, I'll tell you what, I watched that TV, I watched this and I watched that, and I watched that nurse say, well, there was this much that was uncovered in my gown when I was working with these people, and we're afraid of the Ebola and all this kind of stuff. Hey, I don't know about you, but that touched my heart. I was on call for the chaplain. I'm one of the on call chaplain for the Benefist health system out here, and I was on call from 6 o'clock at night till 6 in the morning. If I don't go, they still pay me, amen. But I got called at 8. Thank God we had a family over eating dinner with us. And I said, hey, I got to go. So I left to march with them. But anyway, I have a lot of friends that are in the healthcare industry that are really fearing this thing. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? They should. It's a terrible, terrible disease. I got friends of mine that are saying, you know, preacher, I'm going to be deployed. That's scary. That's scary. I got people say, preacher, I don't know how I'm going to make it next week. I can't even afford gasoline anymore. And people are afraid out there. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that you and I have the answer. It's right here. But the thing is, we got to open it up. I know I've told this illustration before here, but I think it's a great illustration. It's about a man that he was awaiting awaiting appendicitis surgery. And he was very afraid. He's a Christian man, loved the Lord, but he was very afraid. And back in those days, major surgery, it was a major surgery. Today, they don't think much of it, but it was a major surgery back in those days. A lot of people died from appendectomy. And as the nurse was rolling him in to get him ready, she noticed that he was very timid and very fearful. But she knew he was a Christian man. And she said to him, "Sir, I know you right now you're having some real difficulties, but she says, when you are put in the operating table, you look up to the walls. And you'll find a message from the Lord." You know, what do you mean? On the four walls of the operating room, someone had printed Bible verses. And he found one when he rolled in there. "I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." Praise God, he said to the nurse, that just when I needed that word, I looked up and there is my word, and it comforted me. Fear not to the Bible. There are many varied. You can read them through the Word of God. Many, many times the Bible talks about fear not. Our first thought to the Word of God is, "Dear God, I'm afraid." There's a lot of families today, a number of them, that are going to have new babies in our church. There's a fear of bringing a new child into this crazy world. I talked to a fellow the other day, and he said, "Preacher, will you pray for my son?" I said, "What's going on?" He said, "My son and his wife have been married for, I don't know how many years, and they're getting a divorce." I said, "Okay." He said, his in-laws have been pushing his wife to have a baby, and he's tired of it, and he does not want to bring a baby into this world, and he said he can't take it anymore, so he's going to divorce her. The sad thing about it, he loves her very much. Boy, didn't that break your heart? Break my. First of all, if you're a parent today of a married child, shut your mouth. Thought it'd help you out a little bit. None of your stinking business. Once you said, "Yes, you can have my daughter's hand in marriage," you're done. You're out of it. Stay out of their business. There's more divorces because of some long tongue mother-in-law or ornery old man who caused more trouble in that marriage. And you said, "Sure, have him." No, you're done. It's severed. You're no longer. The Bible says that a man is to leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. I like the cleaving, amen. But anyway, we as Christians understand that there's some real difficult things in life. Now, you know, I know that some of you like that, what I just said about your mother-in-law and your father-in-law. But please be very kind to them and say thank you. Just say thank you. You don't have to go into a dissertation because you're not going to change their mind. Amen. Just say thank you and get on with life. But I'll be honest with you. I told the man, I said, you know what? When my wife and I first got married, I felt the same way. I didn't want to have children. I didn't like the way the world was going. That was back in 1969. I didn't like what was going on. And then one night I was reading the Bible and God said to me, he said, son, if Christians don't have children, who is going to influence and who's going to win the lost? And I thought, boy, okay. So we live in a very wretched society. Don't tell me it's not. It is wretched. But I want to tell you that there's a God in heaven that loves you and cares for you. And you can make it. Scripture says we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Trust the Lord with all... I know you've heard it a million times. I'm going to say it again. Trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. That's a wonderful portion of Scripture that we can live by. Yeah, we live in a world of fear. We live in a man, you got three little boys coming up. You got four kids, you know, on and on. You got teenagers, you know. Some of you are going to have babies. And you're going to say, good night, what am I going to do? I'll tell you what you do. You read your Bible, and you pray, and beg God to give you wisdom how to raise those children in this wretched world. Noah raised three good boys. Amen? You think it was bad during those days? God says, that's it. I'm going to pull the plug on them people. First of all, we have... If you're going to put a number one on this, I'd say number one, we fear not because we have salvation. No matter what happens, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you die, absent from the body, present with the Lord. God promises that. These things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. So number one, the first fear not is our salvation. After I had called on a family in a hospital, and when I turned the corner I was leaving, I heard someone say real out loud, they said, praise the Lord, there is a heaven. You know what? That took the fear away from them. Fearing dying is just a fearful thing. Many times in my sermons at funeral, I said, death is the greatest enemy known to mankind. And it is. But if you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you realize that you're a sinner, and because you sin, you owe a terrible price, that's death and hell, because you have to pay for that price. Or you can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and allow Him to have already paid for that price on the Calvary and died on the cross and shed His blood and rose on the third day. You can go to Him and say, dear God, I need a Savior. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. And He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, how hard is that? Call upon the name of the Lord. Remember the time that they're out in the boat, the great waves and the waters coming over top of that bow of that boat. And here the disciples out there scared to death. And they look out and they see this ghost coming at them. That's what they thought of the ghost. And here is Jesus. He said, fear not, for it is I. And Peter says, Lord, can I come to you? And Peter steps out of that boat, starts walking, and all of a sudden the winds roared. You know, that's what Satan likes to do to us. Boy, when we get saved, boy, the winds and the torrents come at us and beat us and slap us and try to drop us down. And old Peter starts descending into the depths, into the abyss of the water. And he cried out, Lord, save me! What the Bible, said, Lord, save him. How simple is that? How simple is that? Salvation is very simple. So first of all, almost went down, didn't it? First of all, we don't have to fear salvation. Psalmist wrote, He sent from above, He took me and drew me out of many waters. What a graphic picture of man's utter helplessness, sinking amidst the swirling waters and battered and bruised and buffeting waves with no firm standing ground at all. I was doing my test for scuba diving and they said, okay, this is the way it is. There is no pool sides scuba diving. So we want you out in the middle of the pool and you will tread water for 45 minutes. I said, what am I, a guppy or something? And he says, if you do not do this, you do not pass your test. And you will not be certified. You know, that's fun for a couple minutes. But after a while, you get really tired. And there's no footing. And when we got done and all of us laying on the side of the pool, amen, when they finally blew the whistle, he said, we don't do this to hurt you. We do this for you to understand that there's no pool sides and no bottom in the ocean. And when you're out there with all your gear on, we want you to be able to trust yourself. And I thought, that's the same thing we do with Jesus. Listen to what the Bible says, for He sent from above and took me and drew me out of many waters. Hey, I'm telling you, there's a lot of things in this life that you can't put your feet, you can't touch. There's a lot of things in this life you can't grab a hold of something and hang on. I mean, it is pure faith. There's going to be times in your life that your little baby's sick, or your wife is sick, or your husband is sick, or your mom and dad is sick. There's going to be times when your teenager will not listen to you anymore and they will leave you. There'll be times in your life that you're wondering what the world is going on. Everybody's turned against you and you know you're right. And you know you're right from the Word of God. And it seems like nobody gets it. Let me tell you something. God is there and will take care of you. You say, but preacher, I just lost my job. Oh. So God, your God died yesterday? I remember, I was thinking about this about a year ago when some of you guys that worked for the Air Force you worked as civilians now. I remember those days. Those are scary days. You remember? Remember coming to my office and say, preacher, would you pray for me? We're just not sure we're going to. They're cutting our days off and they're cutting our checks. Some of them were not even getting a check. Remember those days? How are you doing? How are you doing today? He said, well, Pastor, that could happen again. Yeah. But just you gain from that knowledge and the faith that you have in the Lord God that took care of you then. Do you think He can take care of you tomorrow? I think so. Unless your God died on you. So we have this faith. In fear. Secondly, the Christians do not have to fear of anything, they have security. John chapter 10, verse 28, I would challenge you to look that in your Bible right now. John chapter 10, verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father hath given them me. I is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of the Father's hand. And I and my Father are one. If you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, if you're here today and you have no hope for tomorrow, I would be very afraid. Because you have no promise of tomorrow. A former highway patrolman the other day was mowing his lawn and all of a sudden keeled over and died of a heart attack. Do you think that highway patrolman, if he knew that he was going to die right there, that he went out and mowed his lawn? Yes or no? Now I know some of you guys are really touchy about your lawn and you'd mow it before you die, amen? But most of us, there are certain things that we would do in life if we knew that was our last day. I go scuba diving because that's where my best insurance policy is. But anyway. That would take care of mom up real good. But we don't know that stuff. You don't know where you're going to die. You have no idea. That old heart of yours bumping. Do you think 3 years ago on June 6th in 2011 that I would have let my wife out of my hands if I had just known that she was going to have that ventricle cardiac arrest and her heart stopped? You think I would have let her go? I said, no, hon. I'm going to spend as much time as I can with you. All of us live on the same plane. And that plane is this. We have no idea. We have no promise of tomorrow. You don't even have a promise of next minute. You don't know when you're going to keel over and die. You don't know that. You don't know when you're going to walk into the doctor and the doctor says, you have cancer and you're in stage 4. And probably by next week you'll be put in hospice. We don't know that. Do we? No. But a Christian, listen to me now, the born again, the believer, the one who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, does not have to fear death. That doctor told me, he says, your wife, she has no brain waves at all. She's not breathing herself. She's not going to make it. And I looked at that doctor with crocodile tears coming down my face. I said, sir, what is wrong with heaven? So I know, I don't know tomorrow, but I know that was my response then. My wife and I were taking off. We were flying a number of years ago out of Great Falls here. And all of a sudden, when they took off, that airplane started going. Hey, I'm up in first class. I'm going to get it first, amen? But anyway, how do a plane just start shaking? And I was in first class, and I could have paid for it because I have a lot of miles. And the guy next to me looks at me, and he's like, oh, boy. And I look back, and my wife said, are we going to crash? Because that plane started floating down like this. And I says, I don't know. I said, you ready to go, aren't you? She says, what do you mean? I said, you know, if you die today, you go to heaven. Well, yeah, but I don't want to leave them grandkids. We are dying, and she's thinking about her grandkids. Amen. Yes! And that old plane just a shaking, shaking, shaking. And finally, 10 minutes later, It stops shaking. Everything comes up. The pilot comes up. Ladies and gentlemen, sorry to probably get some of you people worried out there, but what happened is our brakes were too hot to bring the landing gear up in, and so we had to leave them out to cool them off. I thought, man, he could have said that 10 minutes ago. But it's great to find out that my wife was saved, amen. But anyway, there's a lot of fear that goes on in life. I don't care who you are, you fear. There are some fears that come into your heart and your life. But if you understand that there's a God that loves you and said, hey, I'll take you by the right hand. I'll get you through this thing. There's a song that's, we sing it many times, called He Leadeth Me. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, whatever I'll be, 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Edom's flowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would place my hand in Thine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me. By His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. You're not going to get out of this life all polished and not a scratch in it. My son bought a brand new pickup. And I remember riding with him on the first time we went hunting. Oh, Pa, he says, driving through them old scrub brush. And you'd hear it just go, how many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You know? And the first time you hit that bump and it bottomed out, boom, hit that rock, he's dying. First time you tip over your brand new motorcycle, I can't explain it. There is nothing worse than tipping your big bike over. First of all, getting it up. First time you scratch that brand new car that you got. Oh, you say, but it's not a brand new car. It is to you. And you walk out in the Walmart parking lot and some idiot has let the wind hit the door and put you a Montana dent in, that we call them Montana dents, on the side of your panel of your car. You know what? When we get to heaven, most of us are limping in. Most of us, our sails are ripped and the rudder's half gone. But thank God for a haven of rest. Thank God for a place that we can say, you know what? As much junk and bumping and banging going on down here, there's going to be a day when we get up there. I fear for the person who does not realize that there's a God who loves you. I fear for that person that has not ever heard the story that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You're going to see a lot of Christians that are pretty banged up. But I'll tell you one thing a Christian will never do. He'll never perish. He has everlasting life promised to him by the God who created this universe. I pray to God that today, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, that you will invite him to come into your heart and say, dear God, I am a sinner. I need salvation. Forgive me my sins. And come into my heart and save me right now. I don't want to perish for all eternity in hell. I want to live with you. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, today as we see so many things on the horizon, the pestilence, the disease, the wars, even the rumors of wars, the financial disarray, our country coming undone, the rivets that are holding together seem to be breaking. The whole thing is shaken. Lord, may we as Christians glorify your Heavenly Father and say, even so, Lord God, come quickly. Lord, I pray that there be anyone here today who does not know they're saved, don't know that they're on their way to heaven, that, dear God, today would be that day. Everybody needs that day. Lord, it'd be their day. Their day that they confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Their day that they confess that they are a sinner and have no hope without you. Their day that they would call upon you as their Savior. Their day that they would say, I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. And they would say, dear God, come into my heart and be my Savior and live there forever. Lord, I pray today that this would be their day. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know Jesus. This whole world is such a mess. And you're right, it's not going to get fixed. It's just going to get worse. With your head bowed, eyes closed today, you say, preacher, I know I'm a sinner. And I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. I won't embarrass you. But you're here today. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. You're here today and say, preacher, my life's a mess. I don't want you to turn. I know the Lord is my Savior, but I'm really having some difficult time. Will you please pray for me? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. I'm telling you, everything the devil can do and everything his imps can do, I'm telling you, he's going to try to throw everything he can at you to scare you, to get you to run. Paul the Apostle said in Ephesians, he said, stand, and therefore stand. Don't run. Hunker down, but don't run. Father, I pray you'd speak to these group of people here so carefully. Listen today. May we be a blessing and help to them, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I want to get saved today. Why don't you step out of that seat, walk that aisle. Let me show you from God's holy word, I can know for sure that you're saved. Let's all stand. Everyone's standing. You're here today and say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I don't know. Boy, this thing is sure throwing a lot of crazy stuff at us. We don't know which way to turn. Why don't you come to Christ today? I want us to be honest with yourself and say, I can't get out of this thing alive. The Bible said it is appointed on a man once to die and then the judgment. Why don't you come? You're here today and you say, preacher, I have been saved, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. Why don't you come? You know, that's the first thing God tells you to do after you get saved. You're here today and you say, preacher, we want to become the members of this church. This is where we believe God has sent us to be. We want to be members of this church. Why don't you come? Somebody said, well, preacher, what does it mean to be a member? Well, first of all, I ask you, have you trusted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? And hope you'd say yes. And then I'd say, have you followed Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism, down in the water and up out of the water? Well, yes. I said, well, welcome to the church. That's as simple as that. You hear today and say, preacher, we want to become members of the church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come? Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for the promise in the Word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that the fear factor should not even be a thought in our minds. For Lord God, Thou art our God. Lord, help us as the psalmist said, early will I find you. Early will I search for you. God, help us search in the morning the Word of God to get us through this day. Lord, I pray you'd bring us back tonight at 6 o'clock. May it be a blessing and help and encouragement. Lord, we do love you and we thank you for you, all you've done for us. Bless this service now and be with us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.